listen to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting it, passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Well, I had a really intense process this week in therapy around all of this stuff. Like, I got mad at the records and I got mad at spirituality and I got mad at myself and I was like, fuck all this and it's all bullshit and how do I trust anything and what can I trust and what's real and what isn't? And then at the end of crying a lot, I got guidance. Like, my therapist is pretty amazing because she knows me at this point. And she's also kind of a deep woman. She's in her, I think, early 70s, maybe late 60s, super deep Jungian person who just kind of gets the whole everything of everything. And I'll say things like, oh, I just heard the guidance and what it is this. And she's like super down with that. Anyway, I just came back full circle and have a new understanding and just went through a whole fucking thing about it just because of like October and the stupid fucking all the things. And then like Right. Moving here and can I trust all this stuff? And now I don't trust it and I don't trust anything. And then I came back around and I guess what I'll say about it in the simplest form is that if we try to be black and white about it, then I have a problem. But if I'm being spacious and heart-centered about it, then I have no problem. Like, In other words, I was trying to like get it with my mind and getting really mad that there's no getting it. There's no getting it.
And just for clarification, because, you know, when this gets put out, people are going to be a few weeks removed from whatever it is we're talking about. I assume you're talking about sort of like, well, the exact thing that was predicted did not happen on the date it was predicted. And now people are like, well, what's the deal?
I'm not even about people. I'm about
your own reaction.
People can go jump off of whatever. I love people. But like, you know what? I can't even get into that. It's more about, I mean, sure, that plays a part. Yes. But I'm really just inside myself. I was just going, why would you tell me, beings of light, or whoever the fuck you are that I listen to all the goddamn time.
So this is your tone when you're having this feeling?
Oh, yeah. Like, I moved to another state because of you, and now there's not a fucking earthquake? Fuck you. What does that mean? You know? You said. And then I knew I was going to have a hard time articulating this. I'm trying to figure out how to articulate the way that peace came back to my being. It was sort of like, first of all, Margaret said back to me, she's like, yeah, but everything you said already has been happening, like the fires and the rolling blackouts and the civil unrest and the tectonic shift of everything. And I said, yeah, but I asked them point blank, is that a metaphoric earthquake or a literal one? And they said literal over and over and over again. And she goes, well,
yeah,
October, November, not over, Katie. And also like, it was earthquakely, you couldn't be there. Anyway, there's all kinds of ways that she was validating back, blah, blah, blah. But beyond that, I want to try to figure out how to put this in words. I'll give you another example. Like, there's a person out here who's been helping me with certain things who I was like here in Colorado. And I kept getting, yes, go forward with that person with helping you with things. And then, but my gut was like, no, I don't think so. No. But it was like a yes, a yes. And then it was like, no, no. And I'm fighting with them. And then in the end, maybe not the end, but in this moment, I went with my gut and everything feels like a world of difference better on that thing with what that person was helping me with.
Okay.
And so in therapy, I was really mad. I was like, why would the fucking beings of light direct me to something that my gut, just my stupid human gut, it's right here. It's just a gut. Everyone has a gut. Do I need beings of light if we all have a gut? I was mad. about it. My gut knew the whole fucking time. So why was I like going forth, ignoring the gut? Da, da, da. And then what came to me so clearly was it, the information through the gut is also them. The information through the gut is the divine. And like, it's so hard to articulate this. It's like, number one, if I hadn't going forward with this person, I know I'm being vague.
No, that's politic of you.
Yeah. So going forward with this person who was helping me with things in a certain way got me going with the thing they were helping me with. Meanwhile, my gut was saying on a different level at the same time, my gut was saying, and there's problems here. So then both things were useful. I got going on the project at hand because the person helped me. Uh-huh. And back here, I was like, ooh, I don't know if this person can keep helping me. I don't think this is going to work. So then when I finally said that out loud and they went bye-bye, my being relaxed. But I look back in time and I go, oh, the thing exists now, the project, because I got that far down the road with that person. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And so what I'm...
It's a little bit of both. And God is not this black and white science-y on the nose and everybody bugging me about the date. What was the date? The 10th. And then I feel obligated to be like, yes, it was the 10th. And we all should be scared about the 10th. When my sense of it has always been more expanded than that. It's more like, this period of time, October-ish, is different than the 10th. And then my mind wants to go, I should have dropped that person who was helping me with the project day one because I knew in my gut. No, it's not that fucking black and white. Here's a good example. Here's a better way to explain it. I was talking about relationship stuff and how like that person's gut, they're in a relationship. She needs to break up, knows it, just deepest gut, and then has stories to back it up. And you go, oh my God, yeah, you gotta get out of there. But then the holidays are coming. They still care. They're sharing rent. COVID makes it hard to not share rent. All these practical things are in place that make it so that the timing of breakup right now is just doesn't make any sense for anybody in reality, in 3D earth time.
Yeah.
But their gut is loud and clear, like, you're out of here. And we were talking about that and how like both of those things are true. They need to get out of that relationship. And now
necessarily the time. Yeah. I mean, that all matches up with sort of where my frustration and anger is like around the like exactness of the prediction was happening. Mm-hmm. And like, I was getting really like, we shared a couple episodes ago, like I was mad at you for delivering this information so specifically, because I've been, you know, what I've said to a lot of people is like, God, I'm so in love with the wisdom that is delivered. And wisdom feels different than
prediction,
factual information or prediction. Like, and so I don't want to question the wisdom, like be like, well, now nothing is, you know, because that exact thing didn't happen. And that was like my frustration leading up to it. It was like, oh, don't say a thing like that's got hard walls on it.
Yeah.
Because when those hard walls, if those hard walls don't occur in the very three-dimensional specific time boxed calendar, you know, Julian calendar way.
Yeah.
Then does that call all the wisdom into question?
That's precisely what I was struggling with.
Yeah. And I'm still struggling. I mean, and the reason I said people is not like, you know, people are saying, but because that has been the question that has been like, I've had a lot of conversations with friends who are like, you know, super like who are following, who are like, yeah, this is happening, or maybe it's not, but it's thing. And then they're like, no one is actually like, well, she's full of shit then. Everyone is actually like, what are you guys going to talk about this week? Like, that's interesting. You know what I mean? In the sense of like,
it is what we have to talk about.
And so the question is more like, how is Kate, one of the big questions has been, how is Katie processing this moment of being questioned?
About that is that, okay, this is what I'm trying to articulate that's very difficult to articulate. And I'm actually getting a little cranky even trying to articulate it because there's a way that I felt pushed into a corner to land on a specific fucking date. And I am mad at myself for doing that codependently for people because they wanted me to. What was that date again? What was the date? And I'm like, listen, This was 2 years ago. Things change in 30-second increments in reality. Don't pin me down to a date that from 2 years ago. But then I felt compelled because I said it at a story event, and I should. See that? That's the lesson. Never listen to the fucking shoulds.
Don't should all over yourself.
Huh?
Don't should all over yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, my point is that if you look at the list of things that came through in that reading, all of it has happened except for that one piece. And I can't discount every bit of guidance I get because one piece didn't happen on an exact day that we thought it would.
Right. Or in the exact linguistic way that it was delivered, you know?
Well, and the other piece of it that I have to look at is there's several other pieces actually in terms of that what you just said, linguistic words, is that whose records were open and what exact phrasing did they say versus what did I interpret? What exact, you know, in other words, if I were to open Gurn Blanston records, we would get who knows what we would get versus if we open my records, it's a different thing. It's so funny. I want to articulate what's happening inside of me right now. Before I was mad at the part of me in therapy this week, I was mad at the part of me that was not exactly black and white. And now I'm mad at the part that would ever demand that there anything be black and white.
Totally. You see what I'm saying? I do. I'm going to slightly change the subject, but not actually, because this is just more anecdotal.
Yeah.
And this has to do with actual tectonic shifts when it comes to actual physical world, three-dimensional earthquake world. A couple of months ago, we have this big double door that leads into our living room, wooden door. One's a big door that never moves. It's basically a wall with a hinge on it. And the other is the door that opens and closes into that. And it had gotten stiffer and stiffer to the point where we were like, okay, it's slightly shifted in its frame. And so Rami and I went with a rasp, and just everywhere it was sticking together, we rasped that part of the door on both sides so that it stopped sticking.
Yeah.
We weren't going clunk every time we opened or closed this wooden door.
Right.
It was only a couple of months ago. Just the other day, I was like, the fuck is wrong with this door? And it is significantly overlapped at this point. Oh. Like, conchunk. Like, it is overlapping. The one door is over. I had to get a belt sander out and just grind it down just to get the door to open and close properly.
Yeah.
And the big door is like almost stuck to the floor at this point in terms of the swing. So I was like, well, my house is 100 years old and it's still shifting. But like, that's say in just a couple of, this time it's just a couple of months since the last time I fixed it. And I mentioned this to a friend of mine. And she said, yeah, my daughter's door won't stay shut anymore. So that's two houses in Oakland.
Yeah.
Whose shape has changed, and Desmond is pointing, three houses in Oakland, one in Berkeley. I don't remember if you're in Oakland or Berkeley. You're in Oakland. Maybe there wasn't a huge tidal surge, but there was sure as fuck some underground activity in the last couple of months.
And?
Or possibly just in the last week, because that's when I really noticed it.
That makes 100% sense. Thank you for saying that. And I hate to be this person, but... I'm not putting aside
a big one.
Yeah, because timing to me is the thing, not the thing itself.
Uh-huh.
There have been too many things that have happened in my list that I saw originally in 2018. I can't discount. It would be the one thing of five that didn't happen if it doesn't happen. And I have a hard time with that. But dates, I always have a hard time with. Anytime any client is like, you know, when do I meet my husband? I'm like, oh boy, because you could walk down a street tomorrow or you could never walk down that street for 10 years. Thank you. Desmond gave us a little note and I said, thank you to it. Otherwise, grammatically, that would seem like a weird sentence.
You could walk down the street and thank Desmond. What?
Anyway, I had one other quick thing, and we'll bring our guest on today. Is I had a friend from, I think I told you guys this privately, but I had a friend from Belize message me, my buddy who listens to our podcast. Hi, Jamie, by the way, if you're listening. She was like, girl, I just want to reach out and say, you do you and you deliver the information you get and you let it go. When people need everything to be a science and an exact whatever, Are you all right, Cassie?
Yeah, I'm just checking something. Sorry, go ahead.
He had his hands on his ears, like the hear no evil monkey.
Sorry, go on.
And I'm like, is what I'm saying that terrible?
Don't say it. I can't actually cover up my ears because I have earphones in my ears. So if I put my hands over my ears, all that does is
what are you trying
seal
to
the sound in. Don't worry, it's dumb. It's so stupid and technical and dumb. I feel dumb for distracting from our awesome conversation. Pray continue, Belize.
Anyway, she helped me by saying, like, just relax. It's just say what you get. And like, if the exactitude isn't happening, everybody can calm down for a second. And what I want to say about it, I don't know if this will transmit for people, but her heart was sick. The heart energy in what she said softened my heart. And then I remembered that the whole thing is coming from a soft portal of light called the heart. The heart is not a member, an organ like the mind. The mind says pink is different from black. The heart says like, ah, colors, you see?
Yeah.
So psychic information is coming through that portal. So we go, yeah, but on Sunday at 3, and the information goes like earthquake. And then I'm cranky because it's not giving me Sunday at 3. And then I push and then, who knows? Life is a mystery. It's not a fucking science. Anyway, I'm just mad that I succumbed to that pressure. But you know what? It's a good learning. It's a good learning.
It's all part of the ongoing conversation.
Also, you know what else I said this a second ago and I'll kind of dive in a little more to it. I really want to sharpen whose records I'm in when I say what. In other words, if we were in Gern's records asking about the date, I don't know what conversation we would have had.
And we also know that Gern is doing good now.
Gern's doing well at the moment.
Yeah. His date that he had himself was also not exactly right.
Yeah. Although...
Or his what he took that sentence to mean was not exactly right.
That's right. Although he lives on Honeywell Island.
I know.
Where I'm like, okay, well, love ya.
There's one more thing I wanted to say that has nothing to do with any of this, but it's just because it just happened and we're about to bring our guy on. And I just wanted to plant this as a thing that I'm excited to report, which is that I graduated from therapy today.
What are you talking about?
My therapist and I decided that, like, you know what? For now, you're good. Like, it's weird. It feels strange, but we basically broke up, like, in a good way.
I have to go.
You're mad about that. Come on, feel love for your friend.
No, I dislike you. I don't enjoy your company. Your foot smells. Everything about you is wrong.
But isn't that a weird thing? I mean, I think this podcast has a whole fucking hell of a lot to do with it. Because they happened at the same time. We started this podcast the exact same time I started
therapy. What have you been in therapy? Like 4 minutes?
No, 9 months.
Yeah, like what Desmond's doing? I second
that. 10 months. 10 months. I've been doing it for 10 months. You're right. Fuck this guy for being good. But like, I don't know. That was a weird conversation to have today where we were just like, it's been like several weeks of me going like, I feel pretty good today. Even in deep trauma, even when things are crazy. But the tools that I was given that she worked me through have been amazing and I apply them. And the reason I bring that up is that also is a gift of the podcast and the sort of spiritual inquiry that has been ongoing. Because I've been sharing my process a lot on this podcast and I've been using this podcast as a place to go deeper and find ways to challenge my assumptions and challenge my narratives and reframe my... So that's all. I just wanted to add the idea that like, it ain't just like, oh, I did therapy and I am better now. Bloop. But like the engagement of spiritual inquiry and direct healing that has occurred and energy movement has been invaluable. And I'm just grateful, deeply grateful.
Also, to be clear, I'm not,
I know,
not actually fuck you, but there's part of me that goes, come on, that's it.
Really? Yeah. Oh, she's going to get a call in like three, four months. I'm be like, nope, I was wrong.
But you know what, Cass, what I want to acknowledge about you in a true, true, sincere way is that so I don't do very well sharing kind of like my deepest, most emotional, like I literally struggle to get to even, I don't break down in front of people. It just doesn't happen. But when I'm in therapy, there's like a weird permission tunnel that's open for me where I go, here's what, and it all comes out and it kind of serves a specific purpose. And I feel like knowing you the way I do, I watch you process things with people all the time. You'll just like process with almost any fucking buddy. You process with a lot of people. I hear you be like, well, I'm having a hard day because of this. I like never do that.
Yeah.
So it's not that like you're not processing stuff or having a human life that has hardness in it. It's that you process it openly with whoever you do that with. I need the formality at least now of the structure of it, just to have a place to be like, here are my human feelings about living. So good.
Yeah. Like, well, that's actually true for me too. Like, I feel like the permission thing has been huge. And again, I'm getting it from the podcast too. Like, I've broken down several times in like here, like I've been in therapy. And so that is the thing I'm going to be checking with myself over the next several weeks of like, have I lost that check-in ability? Because I feel like it's improved significantly while being in therapy and doing a podcast. And so, you know, I just want to stay present to the moment. Like, that is the big part. What I'm really aware of is how fucking present to right now I am in a way I've never been in my life.
Yeah.
Ever. I'm going to cry now.
Aww.
And I'm not future tripping, which is weird.
That's huge.
Like, even around the prediction, I was like, I was working myself up mentally because I was like, people are freaking out. I should care more. I should activate my like, oh God, a thing.
No.
But I am so like, okay, when that happens, I will deal with it. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. When that happens, I am prepared to deal with that, but I'm not like, am I ever going to work again? Do I have a career? What's going to happen in 20 years? Will I have a retirement account? Like, I don't know. I'm so well taken care of. That's what my point is.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
I admire that. Let's bring Chad on and not talk at all about the prediction because I'm sick of it.
Fucking done. He's going to bring it up. I don't know. Does he listen?
Yeah, he does. He does listen. Oh my God. Is Chad close?
Wait, he's not there. Hi. He's there.
Is Chad close?
Hi, Chad close.
How's it going?
Hi. That's good.
Oh man. It's good to have you.
I kind of slid in last minute, like super busy, rushed home, set it up. And then you were like, wait 5 minutes. So I was like, okay, cool.
Did you take three breaths in that 5 minutes?
I did. And I paid some bills. So I'm good.
Welcome to the podcast, Chad Close.
I'm excited. You know, I've listened to a couple episodes, so I'm familiar a little bit.
Which episodes did you hear?
The one where you talk about this month. Like the whole
everybody listens to Gurn Blanston as their first episode.
Gurn Blanston. I think that's why, not because of the like, you know, because of the transmission of the thing happening in the future, but because Gurn Blanston. Because
the name.
Right. I mean, right. Just that's comedy gold right there.
Thank you for knowing the reference. I appreciate you. Chad, you and I are best friends now. I love you forever.
This is going to be fun.
No. So, okay, question on everybody's mind is, who the fuck is Chad Close? Let's talk about it.
Right.
We know who Gurn Blanston is, but who's Chad Close?
Side note, before I even go there, you two. So Cassidy's been in my life forever and ever, and is like my brother, dear, one of my closest friends in the whole world. We've done all these plays together. We do improv together. We have this thing now together. And Chad, you are like, in my heart, you're my Mancus Cassidy.
Oh,
wow.
That's deep. Chad, you got to understand, that's deep.
Feels like some responsibility. I'm not sure what I've signed up for.
You know what though, Chad? I'm going to just say it. As soon as you popped on and said like three words, I was like, yep, I like this guy.
Right?
I got a little crush on this guy already. I'm in. Exactly. Do this.
So that's a perfect transition to Chad and I meet on a dating app.
Right.
And we drink coffee or something. And then we go to a park.
Well, let me say this. Let me interrupt you. A dating app I hadn't looked at for like 3 months. I just was like, whoa, you know what the hell? Look over here. And then you weren't.
Yeah. Even better. So we meet on dating app. We meet at the coffee shop. We go to the dog park. And for me, the way I would frame the story is like, we're walking in the dog park and like, I know I'm a wizard. I don't know he's a wizard, but all of a sudden there's my heart is lit up and the back of my heart is clearing energy and my neck is starting to do my woo-woo thing it does. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And then I look at like his neck is doing some shit and his arm goes like this and we're both flopping around. And I go, are you feeling that thing? And he goes, yeah, what the fuck? And then we're both just like, and then all this light is transmitting and he's receiving and I'm giving and I'm giving and he's receiving and he's giving and it's all coming forward. And we basically did a healing session in the park because like it wouldn't not happen. Neither of us were like initiating it or being like, I shall give healing to you now. It was more just like, this is occurring and that's intense. And then we've like hung out a bunch of times and it seems every time we hang out and like becoming better friends. And as we do that, it's like every time we hang out, somebody's flopping around or both.
I mean, that's usually, isn't that the goal of a dating app?
Hey,
Chad, can you tell me the narrative from your point of view, your version of that story?
Right. I like Katie's version. I don't have a whole lot to add.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, that thing that some healers do when the energy's moving through the system and it's too much and there's wiggles and you got to do the thing to, you know, move it through your body. We're just both doing that. I mean, we probably look pretty weird to other people in the park, you know.
And did you know each other were spiritual healers prior to that moment?
There might have been a little bit of language on the dating app, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't remember.
I remember part of what made me interested to meet you is that the first thing you said to me was something like, well, on your profile, you talked a lot about Cuba. I'm from Miami, so I have like a connection to the Cuban culture. And I was like, oh, so Cuba, chit-chat. And then your intro thing you said to me was, where did you come from? ?
Oh, right.
And I like everything you said about, or I think you said, I like how you articulate your relationship to spirituality. And I was like,
yeah,
I like this guy. This guy gets it.
That was it.
Did you say in your early exchanges, yeah, I moved to Mancos because the record keepers gave me a message about a prediction that forced me to reevaluate my entire living situation.
She led off with that. Yeah, she led off with it. Totally.
Sounds like a thing I would lead off with. I don't remember that came out at some point.
Yeah. But what's great is for me, I was like, yeah, totally. Right. That happens. That makes sense.
And that
the record keepers didn't tell me, they kind of told my teacher who moved here. And then I was like, I guess I get to move there. Yeah.
Oh, so this really is the womb.
Cast,
go ahead.
Context. Chad is one of maybe 10 people I could list who, like when I say to people here in this town, people go like, oh, what brought you here to Mancos? And I go, well, spiritual direction. And they go, oh yeah, 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 me too. Every fucking buddy I have met. Every fucking person. Whereas if I said that in California, people would be like, I have to go.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day and like that, like Sedona's cool and all, vortexes, you know, there's a lot of some energy. And it's kind of like, I feel like Mancos is the big show when it comes to energy. And I want a lot of people to hear your podcast, but I don't want a lot of people to know that.
Right. So you don't want Mancos to become Sedona. That's the thing. I mean, not Sedona's really, got the vortexes, but it's also got 10,000 crystal shops, I'm sure.
Yeah. But that'll be okay too.
10 million tourists is the problem. We don't want like that, you know, that would be. But I think also just to be more specific too, it's the quality of the light and the kind of light. It's very different. Like the vortexes of Sedona, I spent a bunch of time there and some time now in Moab and some time here. And they're such different, it's such a different energy. But I do wonder how this place has stayed so hidden so long, given what's coming up in the land here.
Well, you might be to blame if that changes, Katie. We might be to blame.
This may be it.
This is the moment. So
Desmond, go back and edit every direct reference and change it to
Mancos,
to Marcus, South Dakota,
or Marfa, Texas, or something.
Well, yeah, it's already overblown, so that's fine.
Yeah. So, you know, so Chad and I meet that way. We exchange wizardry pleasantries, and he's become like my soul brother here in this town. And I was like, well, we have to have Chad on the podcast. And I have some questions for you that I'd love to ask you, Chad, actually about your kind
of exciting.
Yeah. Like about your journey as a wizard, because something I appreciate about you is that I don't know how to frame it. You're not like leading with your spirituality. You're not like, hi,
right,
I'm a spiritual dude. You're like living your life and you have these abilities. And so I find that to be appealing. But also I'm wondering, can you tell people a little bit about, just so that people get to hear something other than my freaking story,
sure.
Tell people a little bit about how did this all evolve for you that you wind up being someone who flops around energetically with a lady?
Moves energy.
Yeah, moves energy.
And says they're a healer and does healing sessions with people and stuff. I mean, really, it came down to meeting some people. In 1998, like January of 98, I didn't have quite enough money to do a full semester at the college I was going to. So I took did an independent study, went to Central Pennsylvania to work for a wilderness therapy outfit. And I met Tracy Wood, who you've worked with a little bit since you moved here. And she kind of blew my mind. And then another year later, I went back again and did a course and I got to spend some time with her and her husband. And then I got really immersed and really like, you know, saw them using pendulums and felt the energies moving in my body and was really more immersed in like the conversation with spirit. Like the way they conversed with and connected with the spirit and tried to live in alignment with it. I got like saturated with it a little bit. And then from there, it was just kind of downhill. Like when she was available, we were in the same parts of the country. We'd do sessions. Eventually she started teaching. When she started teaching in 2003 in Durango, my partner and I at the time, we moved here from Prescott, Arizona to the Mancos area to attend the massage school in Durango and start studying with her. And then it just kind of took off from there. And a lot of the things they taught are kind of some standard new agey stuff like ascension and wound work and chakra energy healing stuff. You know, we did some anatomy and physiology too, just so we knew what we were kind of about in the body when we were doing energy work. And that has kind of kept going. I don't work with Tracy as much as I used to. She doesn't teach as much as she used to, but we probably still do a session every 2 or 3 months. But I guess in that 20 year period, there was just a lot of work, really. A lot of the like personal, especially the personal stuff. For a while, there was a focus on the cleaning up this system so I can, you know, clean up my channel. So that was a lot of the stuff too.
And so for you, when you say your channel, you mean, I think what I'm hearing you say that you mean is that your way of having direct communion with the divine is through this channel. Okay. And something I know about you that I really like, and it's something that actually I have a story to share with both of you about it is, you know, when I saw the way you were working just with my system, we're like treating energy work, and I see the way you're doing stuff. And I noticed that you didn't have to like say a prayer, open the records. You could just like kind of tap in and start.
Right.
And yep. I decided in that moment, FYI, I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to have that. And so then when I worked with Tracy, I go, hi, I'm Katie. I want to do that thing. And she goes, okay, here we go. And then she did some stuff and then I felt it. And then ever since then, she was like, so now you don't have to do that, right? I go, right. And now I've been practicing. A friend came over the other night and was sitting at the table right up there with me. And I was like, let's see. And he was like, oh, I feel a little thing right here in my chest. And I go, okay, pow. And it was there. And it was almost all that had to happen was, I don't know, whatever she cleared for me, but also like, she kind of just gave me permission to be like, you could just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was able to just do it because I believed I could. Mitch. Well,
that goes to what we were talking about before Chad came on about like the formality of therapy, for example. Chad, I was just telling Katie that I basically graduated from therapy today. My therapist and I were like, we're good for now.
Woo!
Yeah, it was awesome. But
that's the reaction you wanted before.
Thank you, Chad. Katie told me to fuck off and that she hated me. You know, that's cool. My best
friend.
My
best friend. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Graduated.
Ah, damn it.
He'll graduate again in like a couple months.
It'll be, yeah, chance. Let's be clear. I'm not done by any stretch. But my point being that we were expressing like the formality of therapy gives you the sort of permission to open up or to do. And I wonder if like just having someone say, you don't necessarily need that formal prayer, blah-de-blah. Here's a way to remove that block. And now that I've like taken therapy out, like I can still do what I was doing in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was right. Using the formality of therapy to do mm-hmm. that stuff. And maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's analogous. Katie, maybe.
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, she really did some cool stuff for my energy field, as has Chad, since I worked with him specifically around like the hips and the legs and all of that lower quadrants connection to the earth. this whole thing of me being in Mancus, like I'm getting so much every single day, every minute about the earth and from the earth. I think I've been pretty freaking disconnected from it, frankly. And so in the last couple of years of my own healing work, there's been this pull toward like, yeah, but what does the earth have to say? And I'd be like, who cares?
Right.
I don't need the fucking earth. And then I get to make it. Oh, that's charming. That's charming. Yeah. And then
where do you fucking think the light comes from? One of the places.
Oh, it's got its own thing it's offering, that's for sure. So
you know, for the longest time, Tracy's one of her focuses was the pelvis. In the human system, we were focusing on instead of like the heart being the center, like of the, you know, the fourth of the seven chakras, we were really focusing on pelvis and expanding and clearing and deepening and, you know, filling it with light and all the things. So I don't know, that seems to relate somehow to this very grounding energy that's here.
That's really interesting too, because there's this whole movement in kind of the energy work worlds that I come from where everybody's doing, they're calling it womb work now.
Yeah.
He's working on the womb because everybody finally figured out like, oh, yeah, the womb's kind of a big deal. And then
kind of a big deal.
Those healers that you talked about that came through Mancus, they called this place the womb of the world, don't they?
Right. Yeah, the Kogi people. Kogi, and there's that movie about them that I can't remember the name of it. But just for people who might listen to this, I'll look it up quick and I'll reference it in a minute here.
Yeah.
What that movie name is. Is that okay?
Yeah, please. And
it's a really interesting movie.
Say for people that like, you know, something I've been doing to help people ground at the beginning of sessions for a long time is have them breathe into the low belly and into the pelvic floor. Because for me, so much of my healing has always been in the like feminine sexuality, creativity, the seat of the self. Like the Hawaiian healers call it the unahapili, the little self, the true self is down in the low belly. And there was just so much trauma for me there. And I saw it with so many of my clients that it was like, okay, we need to come down and in to that part of the body for sure. It's just amazing how much more there can be. Like structurally, there's stuff there. And muscularly, there's old energy there. And energetically, there's energy there. There's just all kinds of layers of what's possible when we work with the pelvic floor and the womb.
Thanks. It's juicy.
Did you find it? You were just
Oh, yeah. So, well, I didn't want to just like jump from what you were just talking about to that. So I'll get to that. But
you should. Yeah, we are not good with structure.
Jump.
Great. The name of the movie is Aluna, A-L-U-N-A, 2012. And I think that was their second film earlier in like the 90s or the early 2000s. They made their whole deal was like, the world is dying. We know this as a people. And so, and in their spiritual tradition and where they live, they believe is the heart of the world. Mm-hmm. So in Mancus is the womb and maybe the brain is like Japan. They're all over, but their centers are all over. But so this was their effort to like send their message out into the world, that first film. And then they kind of like went for it even further with Aluna. And it's a little bit of a weird metaphor. Like the metaphors they use of this gold, they use this gold thread to try to express how everything's connected. And it's interesting. It doesn't quite land in a white Western mind, but it's interesting for that reason to watch these people trying to transmit their message.
Well, what do you mean? What do they say about the golden thread?
They literally have like a company in England make them this like huge spool of super thin gold wire, literally gold,
yeah.
Golden. And then they like take it across South America and you know, somehow they're trying to express the interconnection of everything. And I'd have to watch the movie a couple more times to try to really get the metaphor they're trying to express. And I think it's something that might make sense in their culture in a way that this white culture is ingrained in me that I didn't quite get.
Mm.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there was a movement for a little while to buy some property here down Weber Canyon, south of Mancus. And they had some, you know, local investors and people who wanted to support them in purchasing this land as part of a nonprofit to protect the womb of the world.
Mm.
And as far as I know, it didn't work out.
Mm.
But there's not any development down there. It's pretty wild down there. There's no water service. There's no electricity. So people live down there in an off-the-grid way, but there's some big kind of ranchy properties. Anyway, that's the story of the Kogi
in
the Mancus Valley, the womb of the world.
I think that's pretty fascinating. What would you say, Chad, is the, like, I'm sure you can't break this down as simply as this, but for lack of a different way to ask the question, what's like the biggest change or gift you've gotten from being engaged with this kind of energy work?
Wow. Well, I guess this kind of ties into something I've been thinking about and something you just said. You talked about, oh, the way Chad just doesn't need to say a prayer or invite all the helpers. Like, I'm not sure, like, that's great. If that's better for you and it is like a next leveling up of your thing, that's awesome. But I mean, I know great Reiki practitioners and I know great people who work with crystals or work with all the things. And yeah. You and I have talked about this a little bit, just the way that, like your, whatever, like your flavor of the community, of the conversation with God is, or what the divine is, you know, great by me.
Yeah.
I happen to find these really weird people who like live their life according to spirit in a really extreme way. Really lucky to have run into them and been able to kind of follow them around for a little while and learn from them. But there was a time when I used to have a little more judgment about all the different things, you know, and that someone's a Reiki master after 3 weekends and whatever. And so I've worked on that a little bit. So maybe that's related to what this path has offered me. I mean, it's offered me a lot of groundedness and like space in my world, especially like around wounding or emotional reactivity or just being with the challenges of life. I roll pretty well with the human experience anymore.
Yeah.
That feels like a big bonus. And I just I've developed a love for, I mean, I really love doing energy work on people. I love the feeling that the feelings and sensations I get in this system and the learning and growth I get. And I mean, it's not just all altruistic. Like, I'm a person of service.
No,
I get off on it. I like it. Mm-hmm. It's fucking awesome being here. And so I guess that's the other thing. I really like it. I guess it's that kind of thing. Like, for people, when people find some kind of purpose,
yeah,
just that satisfaction they get from participating in it. And that's been a big distinction. Like you said, I don't show up in the world. With people who know me, they know I'm a healer, but otherwise I'm a construction guy. I own a construction company.
Yeah.
And I go around to jobs and tell people what to do and make phone calls and wear tool bags sometimes. And, you know, that's how most people in the world see me.
How much do those worlds cross over at all? Do the people involved with your construction company or like the teams that you're a foreman of or whatever, do they know, Chad is also a spiritual healer?
You know, the couple times they have overlapped really intensely, like when I've had very spiritual clients who were like really fascinated, it hasn't gone well, honestly. Huh. Like it's been better to keep it with like employees. Sure. It comes across just in the way I communicate. And then it might eventually come out with people I work with, but how come it didn't work out with the really spiritual people?
Yeah.
It was like trying to mix up channeling with contracts and money, you know? So there'd be like what we channeled we should do next. And then there'd be like what makes sense in the 3D world. And then it got really messy. It got messy enough that we just stopped. And it was a loss for me. It was a really, really big project that would have been really made me a lot of money. And we ended up just like parting ways partway through. And then those clients actually went with a way mainstream, not even remotely spiritual person who just like, did the deal, built the house, went away.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah.
So some of the people I know I work with know, but for the most part, they just know I'm a really kind. I'm pretty kind for the construction industry. I'm pretty easy to work with, I think is what they know.
You said something that made me, loving doing it. Yeah, I was on that topic today. I had this, well, actually it started yesterday. I had this awareness to, you guys know about this healing center I've like apparently started to have one of. Here in Mancos, which by the way was not on my list of plans ever. In fact, I had the opposite of interest in it. I was not for brick and mortar. I was not looking for extra expense. I was not looking for any of it. But it popped up and it really just really read. And I just kept getting green lights and green lights. And here we are. And now I have it. And yesterday I was like, because one of my teachers with the Akashic Records work taught me that anything that has a consciousness or an address has an Akashic Records. So any group of people you're with, there's a group records. Any building, group, there's a records. Any animal, dog in my lap, records. So any consciousness or address has a record. So I was like, wait a minute. What if I open the records of the Divine Light Healing Center at 140 Mesa Street in Mancos, Colorado? And holy shit, I'm pretty humbled and taken aback by the bigness and the brightness of the energy of that thing. Like that entity that I'm now the steward of, like it's my job to like make it do its thing. But the thing that it is, that it's doing, is so intense and beautiful. I sat this morning, it was such a big, bright, beautiful energy. This morning when I was doing my thing I do in the morning, I usually open my own records and sit there for a while and do meditation and do whatever I do because I love the energy in there. This shit blew all of that away. I sat in the records of the Divine Light Healing Center in Mancos, Colorado's records. I sat there for, I could have never left. If I could just dissolve into that forever and never do anything else and be so fucking happy. And it relates, Cassidy, to what we were talking about before Chad came on, in terms of whenever I go through these periods where I get, where something happens and I get dowdy, or like I'll have a client who's like, everything you said is true and it changed my whole life, but that one sentence you said wasn't true, so fuck you and I want my money back, which hasn't happened in a long time. But anything like that where I start to doubt any of this shit, if you could just come inside my body for a minute, just be in my body, open the records of the Divine Light Healing Center in Mancos, Colorado, you would understand why doubting any of this stuff is temporary, foolhardy, short-lived, and not a thing I need to spend much time doing.
Yeah.
Because nothing feels like that. Nothing. And then I kind of came out of the meditation thinking, cool. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And I don't know if I can put into words how willful of a person I am and how deeply I value autonomy and freedom. Like, I'm not here to serve any fucking buddy. I'm here to be me and to be free and be empowered. Except that shit. That shit tells me to jump off a building, I just might do it.
Right.
That's how good it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just jumping.
It's funny when you say that. That's what was crazy about Craig and Tracy working with them. Spirit said, do this. And they, you know, Spirit says, walk through this grocery store and grid weave. They pull over, you know, Spirit says, drop everything and go do this. And they do, like, whatever, they develop in themselves the ability to just skip over all that doubt and just go for it. And it was weird. It made things weird hanging out with them. There was a time when Tracy and I were in the field. We were wilderness instructors for this wilderness therapy program.
Yeah.
And Craig was our supply person. He's supposed to bring us food, a resupply of food after we'd been out for like a week.
And that's
him. And he just wasn't there.
Right.
Her husband. Yeah. She had been involved with that organization for a while. And this was like her last hurrah, last time she was going to do a course. Anyway, he was supposed to bring us food. And then we were at the campsite, and at the campsite, he just wasn't there. He was off in North Carolina somewhere grid weaving, because that's what they told him to do. He got there eventually, but not on time. And it was so frustrating.
You guys,
but we were like,
you have a bunch of,
we
like
had enough food
teenagers without
we did
food?
Fine. We did, you know, we had like 8 hours of, like, where is this guy? What's going on? You know, it wasn't that bad, but it's just a little example of, you know, he was told when he was channeling, he was driving to us and they said, go right. And he went right. And then he went left and he went right. And he went wherever they told him to go.
Can you tell people who maybe don't know what grid weaving is?
Yeah. I've never heard this term. I thought it was a town when you said this
grid
grocery
weaving.
Store.
And I mean, as I understand it, it's just like how you would energy work on an individual. Their spirit is directing him to travel around and do like broadcast energy work as he travels around. And it might be up and down the aisles of a grocery store or around a town or on the highway.
So you're weaving through a grid.
Well, he might be clearing, you know, weaves of energy that have been put somewhere. He might be creating new weaves of energy that are being asked for. That's why I think they call it grid weaving.
is just because you're traveling. He's moving long distances, or one is. As I understand it, was never really called to do grid weaving, or I avoided the call because it sounded like too much work. But yeah, it hasn't been a thing I've done.
That's interesting. I know what you mean when you say it, but I feel like people listening might not. So I wanted some clarification. I'll give you an example of like how that'll show up in my world. Yesterday, I had this dog here, the one that we're all quite familiar with. And I was
in love with.
Yeah, in love with. Thank you very much. I was outside of the Mexican restaurant, one of the 90 Mexican restaurants here. And by the way, all we have in Mancos is Mexican food. It's like nice grocery store, shitty grocery store, Mexican restaurant. And you gotta like travel to have other options. Anyway, I'm outside the Mexican restaurant. And all of a sudden, I'm overcome with this sort of like heavy, sad, this deep, dark, heavy sadness, very much in the womb and very much in the heart. And I know when it comes over me like that, it's 9 times out of 10, it's definitely not mine. So the first question I ask spirit is I go, well, is this mine? No. Okay. And then I'm asking a bunch of questions. Is it of the earth? Is it something, you know, is it the people in this Mexican restaurant? Is it the next client I'm about to have? That often happens where I have a client booked for 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And like around noon, I'm having weird symptoms in my body. And I finally figured out, I think a teacher taught me this, that like you're tapping into what the client wants you to help them with. Like they are thinking of you and sending their energy toward you and you're perceiving it. So anyway, once I can ask the question and get clear on the thing, I can do something about it and not be like just carrying that thick, dense, heavy energy around. So anyway, yesterday outside of Chavolo's, I'm in my car waiting for nachos. And what I got was that some part of the earth was releasing some heavy thing and wanted my help with it. And so I had to blow and make sounds and noises, and we blew that heaviness out of the earth and then it was gone. And had I not known that, you know, just through being in healing schools and knowing a few things about how energy works, I would have thought that was me. I would have thought I was real sadness, and I was, it's a little different from grid weaving, but it's a similar idea because it's not a human. It's the land in this case going like, clear this for me because I need you to do this. Do this now.
What time was that last night?
That was yesterday afternoon around 4 p.m., 3:30 p.m., 4:30 something.
Yeah, I ran into that yesterday, and I was supposed to go to Durango to drum for the African dance class.
Yeah.
So I drug myself out of the house and loaded the drums. I have these three big drums, the dundun and the kenkeni and the sangban and another drum. So I get them all over there, and I'm just not feeling it. And we start at 5:30. We started at 5:30. And I drummed for like 20 minutes and I just was grieving. I just was like so in pain. And what's funny is I love that you're talking about, because I didn't even check in. This is the thing about, you know, the healership. I'm such a human. I didn't check in. Like I could use my pendulum. I could put my hand out and go, is it me? Is it a person? Is it, you know, just stuff that's in the field? What is this? I could ask spirit. Yeah. I didn't even bother. I just personalized it. I was like, this must be about me and this triggering experience I had yesterday. And and then my friend Kayla, like I just walked away from the drums. Like I'm playing these drums and I just couldn't. I was losing it. And I just had to tap on the other guys and like walk away. So I walked away for like 20 minutes. And then a friend like came over and we talked, and then we went for a walk after drumming. And I mostly processed about how I thought it was this personal thing, but maybe it wasn't. I'm not always paying attention enough to know. Like I don't always ask. Sometimes I just, you know, assume it's me.
I mean, I 100%. I think for me, I personalized everything for so long, and I still can.
Yeah.
Both know that like it's too painful. As soon as something is that heavy, I'm like, let's pray to Lord Baby Jesus, this isn't mine. Fucking not mine. I can hear it too much. If it's mine, it's gonna take a while and I gotta feel the feelings and whatever. But if it's the earth, we can just blow that through. That's what motivates me, in other words, to take that present to the question. Hey,
that it might not be yours. Why not ask? Because it might not be yours. Great. That's a good motivation for most of us, avoiding discomfort. Thanks for that.
No problem.
And then sometimes it'll just be mine. I'll have to deal with it. But
sure. Yeah.
God, I feel better already that it wasn't mine.
Good. Thanks.
You've now decided it wasn't yours because it's easier.
Well, it feels lighter in my body. That's for sure.
The thing. If it wasn't true and he was just deciding it, it actually wouldn't feel lighter in his body.
But yeah.
Speaking of your body, Cass, I know you have a bit of a time frame today. Do you have?
Yeah, we should. I think it'd be good if we jumped to.
Yeah. So Chad, you've listened to the podcast. We usually open the records of the guest. And
but we're just going to go pow right to it.
We're not going to say a prayer. We're not going to do a meditation. We're just going to open it up.
Just hit me with it. Katie, what do you get? What do you got?
I'm going to open the records is what I'm going to do.
Still a formality to it a little bit.
I love it. And I like the clarity of it. And it's very clean.
Okay.
Whew. But if you're cool with that, that's what we'll do.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. I'm going to just energetically reach out and connect to you, whatever you're doing as you open the records. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. See, already the energy's moving. This Chad is so tapped in.
Commence the wiggling.
Chad, what's your cool legal name again? Chad Close, is that it?
Chad Roland Close.
Oh my. So we do acknowledge the forces of light. Allah, asking for guidance, direction, and courage. Know the truth. As it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of the Divine Light, protect me from all forms of self-centeredness. And direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know, Chad, what was it?
Roland.
Roland Close in the light of the records. Me, Chad, rolling close to the eyes of the Lords of the record. Enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Chad rolling close have for Chad rolling close. Okay, yeah, part of why I wanted to open the records formally is because I'm actually quite curious about what happens in the formal way of this particular thing, like this, the Akashic Records, like what would it be like to sit in Chad Roland Close's Akashic Records, and specifically, what is that, you know? Allah. So we're asking to be deepened now into the deepest and highest vibrational frequencies of Chad Roland Close's records. I mean, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Sharawan La Ilaha Illallah, Sharawan Muhammad Abduhu Rasulullah, Sukhfirullah Ladim, Sukhfirullah Ladim. Okay, well, did you have anything you wanted to, you know, I don't know, look into or clear, or shall I just say words?
I have a direction and I'd love to hear words if you're...
Okay, great. Let's start with your direction.
Okay, great. The thing that's been coming up is like, the thing that always comes up is there, how to phrase this. I mean, we've talked about my healership and how I work as a healer and what I do. And then I'm just giving it away lately. I give it away.
Yeah.
It's free. And there is that question. It still arises in me. Like, you know, I used to say I kind of hated the construction thing and I was over it, but I'm kind of past that point, healed some of that victimhood.
Yeah.
And, but there is a part of me that is like, okay, all right, you know, creator, father, mother, divine, all that is, what do you want me to do with this? And I haven't been asking that very specifically, probably because I don't necessarily want to know, or I'm a little fearful of, you know, what I hear when I ask, what do I do with this?
Right.
And it's not, what do I do with this case by case, person by person, or energy by energy, but what do I do in this 3D world is really the question, kind of.
So let me ask you something. How would you feel if the answer was exactly what you're already doing?
I mean, I might feel a little disappointment, but you know, just a little.
Okay. So is part of what you're asking, like, is the next indicated action for you to be like working in a formal way where people pay you and you're doing here? That's part of the question.
That is more the question. Yeah.
Huh. I'm listening for what I get this big no, right?
Me too. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm listening for like, is that the incorrect question? No. Is that a useful question? Yes. Okay. So is this about timing? Yes. Yes. Is this about pieces that need healing for Chad? Not exactly. Nope. Is this about him not being ready? Nope. Not really. Is this about just literal divine timing? Yes. There's something about your life has a plan. You know, there's a thing unfolding here. They're showing me this very clear image of a corkscrew, like a metal corkscrew moving forward in time space. Allah. Oh, I don't have clarity on what that is yet. So we're doing some clearing now. The corkscrew, like the timeline. Yes. Okay. So the corkscrew of your soul's trajectory, purpose work is boring a hole through your life and the things around you, the 3D, the 5D, etc. But it hasn't bored to the place where now you do that thing. You know, like, okay. Now we're moving energy.
What I was hearing, okay.
Go ahead, what were you hearing?
Well, I mean, it was like the encouragement to keep doing more of the same. Like if I'm going to, like I do it for free because people who know me call and ask for support.
That's
but
right.
I wonder what would it be like to just like, you know, I mean, I can afford to pay for space in the studio and just once a week do two free sessions, you know?
Yeah.
Like that sounds exciting to me.
Okay. So let's see what gets created with that. So I hear the same thing you hear in terms of like, this is
more of the same.
Yeah. This is how I hear it. It's like you are giving so deeply and so fully and so often, what more could you ask for? And yes, organically, there will come a time where you're more formalized about it, period, full stop. How's that land for you?
It lands great. I mean, there's some things for me to watch. Like I know that as a Cancer and just as a masochistic kind of personality type and all the things I know about myself, resentment is a thing I need to be, you know, cautious of with the giving.
Yeah.
And it feels like I've got a pretty good handle on that and can witness it and name it when it comes up and then go recharge my own batteries.
Got it. So that you're not over giving in a way that doesn't actually fill you.
Yeah. But the giving does. It serves.
Yeah. All right. Other questions, thoughts, directions?
I think if we wanted to talk about, let me ask you. Yeah, this is cool. So like, so I have some other opportunities, like professional opportunities and things I'm struggling to get some traction on.
Yeah.
And I'm not really like taking the steps. So if we can clear whatever, that's been a historical thing. Like yep. I'll create some new opportunity, then I won't quite follow through on it.
Yeah.
So I have something up like that right now.
Okay.
It's time for me to take action on it. And I'm looking for like, can we clear some of that pattern or yeah. wound or whatever it is?
Can you tell us what the, in a way that doesn't incriminate you, like, what are we talking about?
Just like a business opportunity, like another job that could be really lucrative or a real estate investment or even relationships. Like they're like, I'll do the energetic embodiment to create an opportunity. And this happens all the time in my life, but I won't necessarily take the 3D steps that are partnered with it. You know, like manifesting possibilities is great. And in the 3D world, it takes, you know, step 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. So feel into the body in the place where that resistance is. Allah.
Oh, cool.
Allah. Oh, Allah. Allah. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's a way. Here's the framing I'm hearing about what's moving, right? You're feeling it. I'm feeling it. The words are something like, there's been a density or a gray, foggy cloud around taking the action steps because the part of you that would do the 3D stuff has not been fully, it's like separate from the divine somehow. And right now what happened is the divine just dropped into the part of you that does the 3D steps. And so what if doing the 3D steps could have the energy of a healing session?
Oh, that's good.
Allahu Akbar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Abdullah Rasulullah. So everywhere you decided, judged, and concluded that taking 3D steps has to be hard and painful and uncomfortable and not fun and not light and not smooth and not free, you revoke Chad. We can't rescind.
Yes.
Allahu Akbar, all of that. And same with relationships. Everywhere you decided they mean obligation and control and limitation and smallness and tightness and I can't be me and I can't make choices and I can't be free. Will you destroy and uncreate all that?
Yes.
I mean, Allah, 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 Allah. Oof. That one has a different flavor. Allah, Allah, Allah. That one's a little more like, I'm not so sure about that one. Allah, 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 we're moving. Okay. So back to the work thing. That's clear. Okay. Are there any other nuggets left of like any of that we know? Is there anything else in the field for Chad blocking him with the 3D steps with the no? Fantastic. Okay. Hallelujah. Hello. And so now,
yeah,
going, Chad, to any of the, like, you know, if you find yourself like habitually going like, I don't want to, ask yourself, actually, does it feel bad? Or am I just habitually doing the, like, cause it used to actually feel bad in your body because it wasn't of the light. But now that separation is gone. So now you have the opportunity to actually ask, wait a minute, how would it feel to show up? Oh, feels fine. Here we go. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. I love it. Like infusing that, that's action step taking with the energy of like a session is joyful and exciting. And even where it's uncomfortable or unknown, it's still a yes.
Yay.
That's good. That's juicy.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yes.
It's for Chad. Okay. There were a few times during that clearing where you were like sitting there and suddenly went, oh, cool. And then you said, wow. And then you said something like, just for the sake of, you know, the listeners and people who are listening and witnessing it, not like I'm witnessing it, can you at all describe what those moments were for you? Like what the experience was?
I mean, there was some, like when Katie first, when she first opened the records, all this through my energetic center, like upper body, my heart and out through my shoulders, had an opening feeling, but it also had a little texture of like, owie, like heart pain, like just a little like uncomfortable, like emotional heart pain. So that started to open up. And then, different times there were different parts of the body. When we got into some of that action step stuff, it was like, I don't remember my anatomy and physiology, but like lower left quadrant, my left of my like internal organs, there was a bunch of like kind of discomfort in there that was clearing. So just really things in the body that I was tracking and noticing. It was one of the techniques that my teachers taught me both when I'm doing healing and when I'm receiving it, just that like that sixth sense of being able to travel around in your own energetic system and notice what you notice and really notice it, like unpack it and be able to really feel the things going on in there. Cause that space in there inside our skin is like, when you close your eyes, the space in there is infinite. So there's a lot going on. So all those oohs and ahs were different things I were noticing. And then some of it was mental, you know, like, oh, I noticed that I just noticed in a mental way, kind of some of the constructs and wounding around the action step taking and how cool it was, the language that Katie brought, that she channeled about what if it was like light, like an energy session.
Yeah.
All those things were the oohs and ahs.
Thanks, Chad.
Thanks for that question. I appreciate that.
I love hearing the more specific experience of what you're going through.
Would you like to go to the next piece?
Yeah.
Okay, we can do a little, they want me to, they're like uncoiling the Kundalini snake more and purifying it and activating it. So we're going to feel down into the, and then track it all the way up the spine as it rises and purifies, shooting white Kundalini light up through the midline, out through the head. Allah, relieving and clearing all kinds of stuff as it goes instantaneously. And I'm hearing thousands of years of karma, past life trauma through this Kundalini clearing. Amen.
That one was kind of like having my guts wrung out a little bit, like my whole system was squishing and a lot of sensation up underneath my ribs, a lot of like tension unwinding.
Just a little bit more if you're up for it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So that was kind of just like the final aspect of that movement that was occurring. There was an unlocking at the brainstem area that then allowed for a deeper dropping in of the light down to the second chakra, purification of the second chakra, which then shot the strength of the white light alignment more easily and fluidly upward through the system. Anyway, that was what I was watching. Movie.
So through that, at the end of that process, I was getting a lot of channeling with coming in. So I have a little thing to share, if I can share it. I think it'll be brief.
Love to hear it.
Okay. So it's kind of like I was being reminded of something one of my teachers would say. And so the channeling that came through is like the reminder to like, he would say develop your conversation with spirit, with the divine or the mother or the father or whoever you call it. That's it. Like, that's the whole game. Oh, this is what I heard. This is what they said. They were like, if you really want to know what's next, like, who knows what's next? The divine knows what's next. So if you want to find out, who do you ask? You ask the divine, whatever that looks like for you.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter if it's meditation or if it's channeling or if it's the grooviest, weirdest thing. If you're, talking to the divine. And then you can do all kinds of things, you know? You can do all kinds of things, heal things and know what's coming and all the things. Anyway, that's what I heard to share.
Hallelujah. And I mean, that's where I really hear you. Somebody said the other day, oh, it was Tracy. We were talking and we were laughing together about how people go, yeah, but you have free will, free will. And we both were like, ha, 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 ha. We had shared a little chuckle just in terms of you can choose free. You can choose anything any minute. And there is this higher thing unfolding. And when you fall in line with that, that's when all the juicy miracles happen. So it's like, sure, go ahead and fight the river. Why though? It's happening anyway. And it would be like a lighter, brighter experience. I mean, yeah, because people associate, I'm not putting this on you, but so many humans associate, if I were to ask the divine all the time or surrender to the divine or listen to spirit or however you want to frame it, I'd be losing myself.
Right.
And the actual truth is that we lose the parts of self that create pain, suffering, and limitation. We've identified with those parts.
Well, we've identified with the rebellion and all that stuff. And it's still a deal for me. I don't always want to know. I don't always want to know what spirit says I should do next. Sometimes I want to do what I want to do next. And I don't mean that like in that moment, I'm like choosing. No, I'm not going to listen to spirit. I just know that, in witnessing myself and looking back, sometimes I don't always want to know. And I think that's probably just human, kind of at the core of this resistance you're talking about. Yeah.
Of course. For me, I'm just, again, cursed and blessed with a deep inability to tolerate a lot of human pain. And so like the kind that's unnecessary. In other words, I do all this divine shit because I'm like, when I wasn't doing it, shit did not go well. Like, you may be blessed, Chad. Many humans may be blessed with a life where if you don't listen to God, it's like not that big a deal.
It's a little more subtle. Yeah.
For me, it's like, I can't get away with anything.
That's the journey for some of us. Yeah, definitely spirit had to kind of like work with me, like kind of trick me, to coming ending up in Mancus. Not really trick me, but the path wasn't so, I didn't know I was coming here to talk to God at all. Not really.
Yeah.
Kind of knew. But I thought I'd stay for the course of this class and then move back to Prescott or go somewhere else. I had no intention of staying here and building a house for me and having a kid and being here for 17 years now. But you got a transmission in Oakland that you needed to go do Mancus.
Because I'm
different, like, people are different.
Different people are different. I'm just like, if you tell me to go to Mancus, that means I'm going to suffer if I don't.
You suffer from the resistance. You suffer when you're in resistance.
Well, but also like literally life starts to fall apart around me. Like life literally works like a magic funnel of light for me, or it falls apart. And because I don't resist anymore, it just works like a magic funnel of light.
The good news is for the rest of us out there who are like trying to talk to spirit and, for who it isn't so clear, is that I think every little percentage or tenth of a percentage that we increase our alignment is better.
Of course.
Yeah. We don't all have to get up and move across the country.
No. Well, also, don't be saying that, Chad.
I know. No, I'm just saying that, like, I'm just expressing like the kind of range of this, talking to spirit and following, like, it isn't for everyone to just follow whatever they hear.
Yeah.
And I should just clarify that, like, spend a couple years with support developing your channel so you know what you're listening to.
Exactly.
Because not everything, if you say, just randomly say, spirit, tell me, well, you probably could have some teachers to help you direct you to some more specific channels of spirit that are really beneficial for you. Cause there's other spirits out there that'd be like, oh, you want to play? I'll mess with you. Sure.
So like a whole different conversation of like, who are you listening to?
So find a teacher. Don't just start listening and doing weird shit.
Well,
find some teachers that you feel good about and respect and learn to develop your conversation.
That's right. And your point is more than important, because everyone now thinks they're on a spiritual path. And everyone thinks they're spiritual healer. There's like, I had a disease and then I healed it with, you know, oils. I'm a healer. It's like, okay, well, you might have received a healing through some weird fucking portal or some demon or entity, and good for you. It doesn't mean it's clear or clean or where you want it to be coming from.
And that's kind of all we have is each other to figure it out. It's like people who have gone before us, who have really muddled through and made mistakes and have the track record of kind of like, you know, navigating this whole conversing with spirit. There's no book, there's no meter that will tell you if it's a demon or a dark entity or a light entity. I think all we have is community. So I feel lucky, you know, the way I stumbled on it, and you had your school, you know, so it felt like that was the way to develop your channel among a lot of other things.
I had three schools. I'm just saying, it took a fucking lot.
Yeah.
I wasn't just like, poof, I'm open.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm as stubborn as they come is my whole point. I'm saying, I'm as willful and reactive and emotionally all over the place and stubborn as any human you'll meet. Therefore,
yeah,
I better fucking surrender, because shit works when I do and it doesn't when I don't.
And here then again is the paradox of spirit. I say like, find a community, find a teachers. I've had some people come to me and want to be taught. And I've gone like, I don't know what to tell you. Keep talking to God, do your best. I'll hear, we'll do sessions and stuff. We'll try to clear it up. But I've had this like, not a resistance, but I can't quite tell people like, here's who I talk to. Like I've had to really just hang out with people and really, I guess, just do what I did. Say, it's going to take a while. It's going to be messy. Keep trying. I'll be here to support you.
Yeah.
That's kind of my way to teach people to talk to the divine.
Well, my buddy William, the way he says it, he was on the podcast. He said, just keep doing your work. Just keep doing your healing work. Because the more of your own healing work you do, you just become the vessel of light eventually. There's so much shit out that you, whatever gifts are there to be awakened, they'll get awakened. You just have to keep going.
Cool. This was juicy. I feel great.
Cass, any questions?
No, I'm enjoying this conversation quite a bit. A little while ago, I had the urge to jump in, and then it went away because you guys were saying such good shit. I wanted to remark on the sort of where my like listening to the divine is so much less in the language of, or even in the sort of world of what you. I feel like I'm the observer of the spiritual, of the formal, more formal spiritual path that you two are both on, and Katie understands it's about me, and that's sort of my function here on the podcast. But my gut often, or my wisdom is for myself, is actually in reaction to different spiritual claims or different spiritual energies. Like you said, you did a voice, we're like, oh, I did this thing and this one thing happened, right? And then you want to check that. And my reaction has always been like, are you demonstrating the sort of, are you outwardly showing me that you're of the spirit, or are you actually just of the fucking spirit? And I appreciate right. when I can just look at somebody who isn't trying to prove it to me or show it to me in any way. And often that manifests in, you know, not a weird put on voice, saying fuck a lot, you know, just whatever it is, but just the energy of like, oh yeah, I don't know, this is the fucking thing I fucking do. It's rather than this sort of outward, like, okay, hold on. I've got to get into the space. It's really sibilant S's. It's a lot of breath. And you know what? Some of those people are also probably deeply of the spirit. But
yeah.
But I'm more likely to doubt you if you're outwardly showing me, as opposed to just. And I don't know how that was relevant, but it was totally relevant in my head, you guys.
Yeah, no, it was super relevant. Thank you. That's really cool. Yeah.
And you have that too, is my point, Chad. Like, oh yeah, I would trust you to fuck with my energies. Get in there. Like, because you're not
okay,
going,
here I come.
No, exactly. That's how Katie does it. She's like, got you. I'm in.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, it's weird. Most of the really authentic healers I know are fucking weird. We're weird. We talk weird and say weird things, and we don't understand, but doing the best we can. And not like trying to leave this plane necessarily. Like, part of my jam lately is like, I love this interface of the human and the divine and the funkiness of it. It smells funny and it's weird and it isn't always comfortable. And you got to talk about parts of your body that maybe you're uncomfortable with and all the things, you know, like, yeah, the divine doesn't care about any of that, you know? So anyway, I love that part lately. That's what I'm really into. Cause what we're all doing, we're all somewhere between.
Yeah.
I'm going to close your.
That was juicy.
Do it.
Do it. Right. You want to leave them open all day just to see what else happens?
Don't. Okay. I'm thanking masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view, the Holy Spirit of light for everything. I ask that you return all of Chad Roland.
Roland.
Chad Roland.
Proper Southern gentleman's name. Roland.
Of course.
My granddaddy, great great granddaddy.
Closest energy to himself. Return all of Chad Roland Close's energy to himself. The divine portal and the Akashic Records for Chad Roland Close are now closed. Amen, 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 amen. Okay, thank you. I have to do that formally. Otherwise, I'm like, I want to eat a taco that's on a piece of cake. What's happening? Oh, my
God. I like that that's how you see me. Taco on a piece of cake. I'm gonna live that. That's my embodiment for the rest of the day.
Hire a graphic designer and get that logo going right now. Taco cake construction. It's your new business venture.
Oh, taco cake healing center. I don't know. Something's there.
It's gonna be in direct competition with Divine Light.
It's goofy. It must be real.
All right, Katie.
Let's do it.
Well, thank you for joining us, Chad. You're the best. I appreciate your giggly ass.
Okay, thank you. This is great.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Fun. Super fun. Thank you both so much. I don't have any else.
Nah, you're still in the vibe. And I'm just like, cool, done, bye.
Okay. Y'all have a great evening.
You too. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, do your work, bitches.
Well, let's do your fucking work. For all of the answers, say what? All of the answers,
yeah, all the answers. Hey, guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @AllAnswersPod. Thank you.
That's funny. I said, talk to you later. Like, we're going to hang out. It's like, no, I probably won't, but you will.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.